5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast that, even whilst democracy around us is crumbling into tyranny, we're still here to bring you, hopefully, a little bit of giggles and a little bit of joy. Before we get started, I'm going to take a small shout out to all of our friends in Minnesota and anyone else out there who's fighting the good fight. We love you. We're thinking of you. It's been a rough one, but
yeah,
everything, we're all doing what we can. I hope. I've been calling some representatives and telling them some things. So
goodness,
we just didn't want to, you know, get started on anything without addressing that, because not shooting people in the streets is like, it feels like a basic right.
Yeah.
It is. So just want to be clear on where we stand in case we haven't been clear before.
As the Gen Zers say, right now we're all just glommed, you know, glommed up.
Surely you've made that up.
No, it's a real word. It says the definition is emotionally overwhelmed but still vibing.
I think what we are is cooked.
We are cooked. What's happening in Minnesota is definitely fucked. Not skibbity, and it's not Riz. It is just absolutely pure fucked. We got a lot of listeners in the Great White North. Shout out. We got a couple Patreoners. We're not going to go into names, but, you know, we have one of the things I love about Kelsey running the Patreon Discord is that we actually built a spot for, like, mental health chat specifically, and we've got
some
folks,
shout out that was a suggestion from, I believe it was Kai.
That
I will not take credit for that. I thought that was a great suggestion. It has been utilized, especially this past weekend. You know, we're all just looking for an escape, and we have a very, very solid community of listeners, and we're very appreciative for all of you. So whilst we will continue to do our silly little podcast and be silly little guys, we will acknowledge the atrocities as they persist, and we will continue to fight as much as we can. I shared some stuff on our Instagram page about, like, helping resources and stuff like that. I will continue to do that as it is relevant. These people are garbage, so...
Yeah, it's I will say it's tough sometimes to be silly little guys in a world that is increasingly unsilly.
Yeah.
And the people that folks voted into office because they thought they were silly guys.
so silly not to have rights.
Now are increasingly making it very unsilly, and they're also so unsilly that it is truly chaos. And it sucks. And I think it's a bummer when there's we're in a lot of people. I think the majority of people haven't been directly impacted by someone mm-hmm. they know, or someone, a friend or a neighbor, or, you know, like if we're looking at Minnesota, for example, that is not the majority of the country. And also the United States is not the majority of the world. There's a lot of things happening in the world overall. Mm-hmm. And the majority of people have not been impacted by unsilly guys. Just because you have not been impacted does not mean that you do not have a voice to stand up for those who have been. So do not let our jokes and our lightheartedness distract from the fact that we try to use our voice for everything that we can every day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we put our efforts in spots where we think are the right choice. And, you know, sometimes we have some listeners who reach out and say, hey, we think your efforts would be better served with using your voice on this topic. And I think Kelsey and I have time and time again shown that we are open to that feedback and being advocates and allies the best we can for any group that is being the target of infringing on their rights. So, yeah, I'm not going to spend too much more time on the soapbox, but basically, if you want to talk, both of our inboxes are open. Our email address, graysacademypod@gmail.com, is always open for Kelsey, because no spoilies, just in case. But you can always reach out to me at carmen.gabriel.official. I've had a couple people reach out to me this week. You can reach out to Kelsey at chaoticallykelsey on Instagram. Just like, you're not alone.
If it feels heavy, we understand, because it does. Yeah. And if it's just hard, it is. And we do want to be the silly, funny people, and we do want to bring joy and lightness, but we also don't want to pretend that there's nothing else, because that's not the reality right now. And we're not going to do our listeners the disservice of pretending that they're not dealing with this as well, because we know you guys are. And to our listeners not in the U.S., I know that you're seeing it, and a lot of you have, you know, sent love via the internet to us.
And as Kelsey punches the microphone.
I did.
She's just so filled with rage at the injustice. Kelsey hates injustice.
Take it off and throw it. I do hate injustice. It's so real. But yeah, so we're just, you know, it is out there, and we're not going to pretend like it's not. We are going to continue to try and be silly, goofy guys whilst acknowledging the injustice and doing our part where we can, which sometimes, you know, or which does include, but is not limited to, utilizing this platform to voice those thoughts and opinions. There is obviously other things we do. And like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we'll also share things and, you know, make the calls, write the letters, talk the talk, do what we can again. But, and just to be repetitive, it sucks. And we see that, and we are aware of that, and it sucks. It just sucks so bad.
Yeah. And the last thing I will say on this topic before we try to,
harshly
pivot,
transition,
we'll gently roll over the edge to a new topic after this, but don't feel like you're alone, because that's what they want you to think. Mm-hmm. You're not alone. You have people who care about you, and you have people who
feel
if you're the target of injustice, if you are a marginalized, you know, right now, obviously our friends in the Latinx community, in the United States, especially, I mean, around the world, but we see all the news with the United States here. You're not alone. Members of the LGBTQ+ community, you're not alone. Don't forget that. That's what they want you to think. So. Yeah, we love you.
And
should we,
I'm Kelsey.
Hard transition to
that's
the bullshit.
Carmen.
Yeah, I'm Carmen. I guess it's a beautiful day for a podcast. We just described a kind of a bleak day.
I mean, it's just like another day amongst the atrocities.
Yeah.
Also, we are in the middle of a insane historical ice storm. that I have somehow scathed by the skin of my teeth, because I think my little mountain bowl around me has broken up all the storms. So we're like in a teeny strip of Tennessee that was not impacted. Just so many people, like a quarter of a million houses in, or properties really, in like Nashville alone are out of power for upwards of days. And you know, here where I am overnight, the low was 5, which is crazy. I know that in a lot of places,
that is crazy.
Normal.
That is crazy.
For here, and I know the South gets shit on a lot when it's like the winter and things like it ices or snows. We're like, oh, you don't know what to do. It's not that we don't know what to do. It's that our infrastructure isn't built for it. So we don't have like solid ice trucks that just go around. We don't like have snow plows just hanging out ready to go. So when you see these like cities in the South and other parts of the country and you want to mock them, that's fine. But that is the reason why we don't know what
mock.
To do.
Look, as someone who daily is in the books and is in P&Ls, it would be a gross misuse of public funding to be prepared for the infrastructure needed to manage ice storms and snowstorms and the salt. Like, it's just dumb. Shut up. If you're out there making fun of, I will say, like, maybe I'm a bad person for this, but I cannot look away when I see these videos of hills where people are just sliding down hills in Atlanta and I just watch the car, it's just crash, and you know it's coming. I feel bad for watching those, but I am so entertained by those.
We lived on a huge hill. I don't think I've ever taken you to see it, but
yeah.
Okay, we did.
You should, by the lake?
Yeah. So when we knew it was going to like snow or ice, my parents would park their cars at the bottom of the hill, because typically like the flatter roads would be okay if you got out to where it wasn't as wooded, because that's where the sun can hit like the main roads and they're just like more traveled. But they would have to like sled or slide or shuffle and fall down the hill to get to the cars.
Yeah. Yeah, that is pretty wild. I yesterday walking downtown, I almost ate it like 12 times. I'm just like, and I'm walking in. I didn't want to carry, because what I do when it snows out sometimes is I'll wear my boots downtown and then I'll change into my shoes at work. But I had packed this gigantic lunch. And I had no room in my backpack for my shoes. So I said, fuck it. I'll risk it. So I'm wearing Brooks running shoes with no grip. I'm like in the middle of an intersection, like, whoa. I'm sure people in their cars were like, this fucking guy, where is he from? I'm
tourist.
From Chicago. Yeah, this tourist. Oh my gosh. Anyways, I get to spend
lunch that took up so much space.
Well, I actually forgot part of it at work. I brought a box, a chicken shawarma microwave meal from Trader Joe's, acai bowl from Trader Joe's, an apple, a protein bar, some lightly salted nuts, 2 protein shakes, and my Zoa. And I think 2 cups of pomegranate seeds. So it was like it was breakfast, lunch, and dinner all in one. I was ready. And a little hearty. Chocolate.
That's a high, that's some macros right there.
It is. It is. And I ate most of it. I think I actually didn't eat the acai bowl. It's still at work with my name on it in the freezer. But that chicken shawarma bowl was good. If you're out there and you're next to a Trader Joe's, get that chicken shawarma bowl, dog.
Okay. Oh. Well, now that we've just rambled about not Grey's Anatomy, I do have some shout outs to do. We have some new
Sick.
Patreons.
Hell yeah.
We have Lachelle.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And we have Kelly.
Kelly with an I, a Y, an E-Y, an I-E. Oh, I. Hey, oh. Welcome, Kelly.
And we got an email from one of our friends in Canada, Denise.
Oh, hell yeah.
Shout out.
You mean D-Nice?
Sure. So, we got a really cool message. Wait, let me pull it up so I can say the correct things.
Okay.
Okay, from Jessica, not your wife.
Wait, Jessica or D-Nice? Who messaged us?
This is from Jessica.
Okay, okay.
She wanted to tell us that, I don't think I've mentioned this on the podcast. I don't know that I knew this. Jeff Perry, Thatcher / Cyrus.
Yes, yes.
/ all the things that he is. Is married
Is her brother.
To, no, is married to Linda Lowy, who is the casting director for all of Shondaland.
Okay. Okay.
Well, we're not going to say anything negative because Jeff Perry is incredible.
Yeah.
It's not like it wasn't earned. But
I love that. Why has this man not completed the gauntlet, the infinity gauntlet
saying.
Yet?
Get
is
him
the
on
issue.
Bridgerton. That's what I need this man on Bridgerton. That's like the only thing he's missing.
He has Station 19?
Also, I don't know, actually. I would have to verify that.
And he has an Infinite Anna?
Inventing Anna, yes.
Unidentified Anna? Oh, Inventing Anna.
That one as well. So she used to be a talent agent at the agency that represented him.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's
I said,
cool.
Wow. I said, you are yourself practically living in Shondaland.
He is. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. All right, so that's great info. This is a teaching hospital, damn it.
Surely is, which I am actually going to do this week.
Did I read in one of our chats that Katya had done a teaching hospital and you
missed,
didn't
like,
do it?
I missed the last two.
Yeah.
Again, Carmen, okay. The atrocities.
The atrocities, yeah, that's fair. Wait, is there an email from D-Nice or what?
She did send an email to say that she likes the podcast and she's listening from Ontario. I just wanted to shout her out so that when she eventually catches up, it will be here waiting for her.
Amazing. Let me just do a quick run through and see if I've got any. Yes, there was someone who messaged me. Oh, actually. Okay. Yeah. So shout out to Kelly, Kelly F. I don't know where you're listening from, but Kelly decided they're on season. So she's on season 5 of Grey's Academy, and we were talking about favorite Disney Channel original movies, and she is railing on 13th Year. So I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. I'm shocked. I'm offended and hurt. But she did say that Smart House and Xenon are
Smart
superior,
House
so.
Fucking slaps.
Smart House is definitely in the GOAT conversation. Yeah. And honestly, though, too, like, we got to give Luck of the Irish and 13th Year their flowers. And also, if Brink is not in the GOAT conversation, then we all have failed as a society, in my opinion. Okay, so that's my two cents, and shout out Kelly.
I think that's our Kelly, who has also just joined the Patreon.
Oh, I'll have to message her. I'm going to message her right now.
Okay. Cool. I have your full attention. I love that. Okay. So we'll get started then with the episode. This is episode 7 of the 10th season. It is episode 203 overall. It is called Thriller, and that is exactly what you think it is.
Thriller, the song, Thriller, the album. Either way, they slap. They're fucking American franchises. They are legend, wait for it, dairy. Thriller is by Michael Jackson. We're not going to get into Michael Jackson, okay? Everyone, keep your opinions.
Endorsing his personality and his choices.
Yeah, keep your opinions on that to yourself. This song slaps, the music video slaps, and there's an AI video of what was it, like a million Michael Jacksons versus a million Michael Jacksons versus 1,000 Red Coat Army.
I don't know that those are AI. Those have been around a long time.
No. They're not AI. I love
CGI.
These videos. They're so good. Yeah. The one that I sent you today is like, I think it's 1,000 Stephen Hawkings versus 100,000 Mike Tysons.
Your algorithm is just not for me.
my algorithm is the Mona Lisa of algorithms. It is perfect, and it needs to be protected behind bulletproof glass.
And I was like, I can't. You're already infiltrating my algorithm with your bullshit.
I'm gonna keep sending you the good. Anyways, Thriller is considered disco for some reason. I don't think that it's a disco song, but the charts pretty fucking good. I'm gonna read off the countries that it was in the top 10 between the years 1983 and 1985. So Argentina number one, Australia number four, Belgium number one, Canada number three, Chile number two, Finland number seven, France number one, Ireland number four, the Netherlands three, New Zealand six, Peru two, Portugal one, Spain one, the UK squeaking in right at 10. The US Billboard Hot 100 number four seems heinous. Okay. And then it reached number nine in West Germany. The album, I do want to give just a little bit of a shout out to the album itself as well. Fun fact, I want to see if I can get the full revenue, but it was recorded in 1982 at Westlake Recording Studios in LA with a $750,000 budget, which is equivalent to about $2.4 million. And that's crazy to think that, like, I could pull up the numbers and I'm sure it
would just be like inflation wise. I feel like that's offensive.
Oh yeah, for sure. But this did reach number one in the US Billboard 200, which I think is important to mention. So, let me see how much revenue did the Thriller album make?
Research live on a podcast. Everyone loves to listen to it.
Yeah, we do. So it made about $130 to $134 million from album sales alone. And it looks like that's in 1982. So based on a high royalty rate of $2 per album. Wow. So in 2023, the estimated revenue from sales is over $383 million. And it's certified 34X Platinum. Crazy.
That is crazy.
With that being said, I'm going to give this a 5 subjective, 5 objective. And you better believe this motherfucking song is in my motherfucking library. We should talk about Grays now.
Ooh, yikes. Sorry, guys. Okay, yeah, let's do that. This episode was written by Gabriel Lanis and directed by Sherry Nowlin. It aired October 31st, 2013. Aired on Halloween. So I think that's why they really went hard on it. And I like that a lot. It had 8.94 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is... The doctors have their hands full at Halloween with Owen and Christina operating on a man with unusual anatomy and Joe tending to a frightened child. I mean, there's other stuff, but yeah. That's some kind of a summary.
What year did you say this was? 2013. Wow.
2013. 13 years ago. The other night we watched Bullet Train, which was very fun. Loved it. And I said something about, oh, this movie's 4 years old. And Michael said, it's not 4 years old. It's way more recent than that. And I said, no, it came out in 2022. And then Michael was really offended that 2022 was 4 years ago.
Yeah, I am too. It's fucking offensive. Yeah. Before we fully get into this episode, this is actually Gray's topic, so I'm not going on a tangent. We had a listener comment on the Spotify page about Shane and the amount of which and the frequency and the duration of my Shane is a murderer joke. I asked this on the Patreon, in the Discord, and Kelsey and I talked about it a little bit. I feel like I was pretty, even with dragging people through the mud on their terrible choices. We're going to talk about it a little bit more, but I want you to know that if you're listening and you're looking for the context of the Shane is a murderer thing, we'll discuss it in Shane's storyline, because I actually think that there's some timely character growth around his choices. And for what it's worth, I don't think that anyone on the show is actively a murderer. It feels like a fun, comedic, ghoulish overkill to say Izzy's a murderer, Shane's a murderer, Derek is a murderer that time that he tried to take that girl's brain apart one by one, right? Like, everyone's a fucking murderer, and it's just comedic. I don't mean anything by any of it.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's point, out of nowhere with Shane. You have historically, still quite recently in this season, said that Izzy murdered Denny.
Yeah, she did.
And you've said that other doctors, like, when their patients die, you're like, well, they just killed the man. So, yeah. Again, it's not specific to this one scenario by any means.
Yeah. I do also think part of the challenge with this is Izzy cutting the LVAD wire and murdering Denny, even though the aneurysm also is a murderer, for the record. People saw that. Shane's living in this secret world right now, which feels more icky. So, anyways, I don't think anyone is actually a murderer. And also, guys, this is a fucking fake show.
Like, some people are murderers. This is, they're not on the show. Some people are actual murderers. They're just roaming the streets.
Yeah, yeah. And some of them get a fun little patch on their shirt that says ICE. So, you know, it's like a rite of passage for the murderers. Who knows? Let's talk about Grace.
Yeah. What a fun time.
We're trying to be silly. But fuck it, you know?
Silly little guys. Okay. Let's start with
Can we start with the beginning? Oh. Okay.
What did you want to start with?
Fucking Leah and Arizona smushed. Okay,
that's fine. Yeah. Well, they've been smushing.
They've been smushing.
They have, like, quote-unquote rules, because Leah's like, oh, I'm not supposed to sleep over.
I'm trying to be easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Fuck. That was kind of a surprise. I mean, obviously the last text that we saw was, you up? ? Booty call? Yeah. But, like, dang. Okay. All right. Let's start with actually with Christina Meredith, like you wanted to.
Okay. So where are you in there, all of this?
I'm in the camp of they need to talk to each other like adults.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a world exists where someone enters your house holding cupcakes and you don't even notice.
I don't know. Sometimes you have a lot of kids running around.
There was like four adults right there. That's kind of crazy to me. I don't know. That scene felt dumb and it felt fake. It's all fake. But it was just like, I don't know. And then Christina kind of stands there and she thinks about it. You said moments ago in the show that I love, well, it wasn't moments. He said, I love your kids. I hate all the other kids. I love your kids.
Well, that was like,
if a, you love the kids, okay, fucking go
that
in.
Was a sarcastic remark though. Like, not that she does love her kids. But I think because Meredith goes, well, you wouldn't want to be there anyways. And Christina's like, oh, right, because I hate all kids. Because, like, that's what Meredith basically said to her last week.
Right, right.
They're just like in this very weird in-between of, like, let me snarkily comment on things you said the other time you were mad. And we're not solving any problems, to your point. Like, obviously, we're not communicating in any way. We're sitting in this weird spot. And no one knows how to move past it.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. I think, what was that scene? So at one point, I think Meredith texts Christina and it's about the cupcakes. And it's like, hey, if you're coming tonight, get cupcakes. If you're not, no big deal. And Christina's talking to Callie about this and she starts spiraling. And Callie says, dude, just relax. Like, it's or Owen. Wait, does Owen say? Yeah, it's Owen.
Don't overcomplicate Owen, it.
Yeah, don't overcomplicate it. And I'm like, Christina, just like, I guess also my beef with this storyline, in context to Christina specifically, Christina went through such a huge journey that resulted in her catching a fish. How have we backslidden inability to talk through things?
I don't think those things are related in mostly any way whatsoever. because that was like surgery specific and like losing her trust in essentially the world around her to be safe. and levels of PTSD that, you know, people can only go through by go from having the traumas that she had, versus she and her friend are in a fight. So I do find those to be not necessarily comparable things.
And that is why you're the professor and I am merely
I do student. Understand that you did not care for the length of the fish catching arc.
What I was trying to articulate, and I did not do a good job of this, is Christina has been through worse. Why is she not articulating her emotions to Meredith?
She didn't really articulate her emotions with the
PTSD. I don't
PTSD.
Understand what feels. I mean, I guess that's a good point.
It's also like, if you, like, I think she did communicate when she told Meredith she couldn't be on the surgery. And now she's afraid because that did not go well. I think she thought she was doing a good job with communication. Now, she was doing a good job with communication in that she said all of the things she was thinking. I don't know that she was doing a good job in it, in that she didn't, like, stop to think, how could this be received and how could this be very hurtful? And I think that's where the flaw was in the original one. And now she is possibly afraid to move past that and try and communicate again for being misunderstood. That would be kind of my thought towards it all.
That's a really good take. So good that we're going to do a quick break for ads and then fully jump back into this storyline. We'll be right back.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back. Okay. Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it that way. To be honest, it's kind of like, you know, you bring something up to a friend or a significant other even, and it's like, you're trying to be honest. They mm-hmm. get pissed off and it makes you not want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Especially, and I think that the passive aggressive jabs are like mm-hmm. the attempt to downplay the severity, but that just doesn't solve the problem.
Well, and I think Meredith was doing it last time and now Christina's doing it. And now they're just like, again, in this weird place of like, well, okay, do we even get to still be Meredith and Christina anymore?
Yeah. And I think that's, I don't know if I said this on one of the last episodes or if I thought it, but it is being in a relationship, a friendship, a relationship of any kind with someone who you go from both not having kids to now you have a kid and the other person doesn't. Those are challenging relationships.
Yeah. Because you're just living, like, I mean, the lives are just completely different. Not even necessarily like someone's doing anything wrong. It's just like things adjust so much. Yeah. And you're just, especially when it's like for Meredith and Derek, right? Like the first time with Zola, they adopted her. And I think they said she was 6 months, but we didn't really see any struggles as far as like the sleep piece. And like it did not show them having, what is it called? I know Disney had it. I think it was called like bonding leave, essentially. Like if you did an adoption, you would get, they don't call it maternity or paternity leave. They called it like bonding.
You're right.
I didn't show them having anything like that with Zola versus now.
Well, that's
with
because
Bailey.
They have the world's greatest daycare, remember? So
right,
they didn't
right.
need to.
Versus like with Bailey, they did have time off because Meredith was recovering from the surgeries and, also, like, just like the sleep deprivation, that right there will fucking like remove you from planet Earth.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing. It is absurd. And so that like adjustment can be brutal. And again, Meredith working so hard to like maintain her place at the hospital and then essentially being called out by Christina and saying, like, well, you're not. Basically, I don't think Christina felt like she was telling Meredith she was failing, but I think that is how it felt for Meredith to hear it. So, anyways, just to go back to your point, the communication isn't terrible now, but it is terrible now, but it started being intended good but was bad, and it's just dominoes and spiraling.
And I think part of the challenge when you have these differing of opinions, and especially if you have someone who has kids and who doesn't, is if I'm Meredith, Christina didn't exactly Meredith not once blamed Christina for not wanting kids. But it felt like Christina was blaming Meredith for having kids. And when there's this feeling of blame and it gets exacerbated and elevated in an argument, that's where it's like, okay, well, I wasn't attacking you for your choices, but it feels like you are attacking me for my choices. Mm-hmm. And those two things can live in a mutually exclusive world. Like I'll call myself live on this podcast, call myself out live on this podcast, 'cause I don't think they listen, but like my best friend, Steve, I am not great at like upholding that relationship timepiece. It is just easier for me to talk to, in a lot of ways, parents who have gone through, you know, who are going through having kids. This is like a natural kind of like conversation stuff, you know? And I think the longer you go, you start to forget what it's like to not have kids, and you almost can't relate in some ways. Still my best friend in the entire world. Wouldn't Rude. Trade it for anything. Well, you're nothing to me.
I know.
You're an absolute nobody.
We hate each other. Toxic.
Let the record show that was way too quick of a response. I don't actually mean that. She's not nothing to me. She is one of my best friends in the entire world.
You're nothing to me.
Easily outside of Jessica and Marlo, the familia piece, you're definitely my best girlfriend. So And Steve is my best boyfriend, and Jess is my best wife friend, and Marla's my best daughter friend. Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. It's very, I could see where Meredith is feeling attacked, but I think Christina has done a really good job at like being patient with Meredith through this. I don't know that Meredith is like really giving her the full time of day back, to be honest.
Yeah. And I also like, I don't think that Christina was necessarily blaming Meredith for having kids, but I think what it came across was as like, your failings are because you had kids. And again, I don't even think that was her intent, but that is what I think was perceived. And I also think with Meredith, again, speaking for myself, you do kind of like lose the bandwidth to give a shit about drama sometimes when there are tiny humans that you're trying to keep alive.
Totally.
So it's like, to her point, she's like, okay, well, like I can only do so much. And like they are showing us in this episode, her running around and trying to do all these things. And like balance everything. And to Derek's credit, he has stepped up and really taken on a lot of the household side of it. So she doesn't have to necessarily worry about balancing that with work and everything. But she is still obviously trying to have that mother and like all the different things she's doing at work, like balance. And it's rough, but I do think there's a, like, if she didn't have that, would this have already been addressed and taken care of? Probably, but you just, like, lose, like, the priority isn't there and the mental bandwidth isn't there. So, like, yeah. Something's got to give when you're doing all of that. And sometimes if you're like, I don't have, like, the brain power to walk you through my thought process on how you've hurt me, we'll get to it eventually. Maybe we won't. I don't fucking know. But, like, bring some cupcakes, I guess.
Yeah. Or don't.
Whatever.
And then that's what's, you know, yeah, it's whatever. Don't complicate it.
I will say, for Christina, I think if this was anything else, she wouldn't complicate it. She would be like, okay, I don't give a shit. It's because she cares. It's because she loves Meredith. Meredith is her person, that she is having trouble with it and overthinking it so much because she does want it fixed. And I think she doesn't super understand why it's not fixed yet.
Yeah. Do you have any other notes on the Christina Meredith happenings? I don't know that I have too many specific notes.
There were like little pieces. I was just interested to see what you thought on there. I don't even feel like it's a feud because it's just like,
it's just a misunderstanding.
It's just them not...
It really is.
Yeah, not working anything out.
Because, like, yeah, I really don't... I see both of their points, and I mm-hmm. think they're both valid. They just need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Unlike you and me, I'm always right, and you're always wrong, and I don't understand anything it's you're saying, happened. Ever.
Ever.
Let's talk. What's on your list? What do you want to do next?
Alex. Oh, Alex, for the love of God.
Yeah. I was going to say the little girl with the Halloween costume and the storyline with Alex was what I was going to say too. So
perfect. We're aligned. So Alex is still sad, which is valid. What is invalid is bringing that to work and taking it out on strangers who are doing nothing to you and are actually good parents.
Yeah.
So to catch you up, if you have not watched this one, it's Halloween. This little girl comes in. She's like in a full-blown little like wizard outfit.
Super cute.
Merlin. It's so cute. And her dad's like, oh, we stayed up last night and watched a scary movie because she really wanted to. And we had Halloween candy because I have to leave to go on this work thing. And he's like very, like he knows everything he needs to know about his kid. He is making a lot of effort to spend quality time with her, doing what she likes. Like he is clearly a very good and present parent. And
are you saying, Kelsey, that you can have a career and a family too at the same time?
He's a hands-on dad. Oh my God.
No, he's just a dad.
Exactly. I'm a hands-on mom.
No, you're just a mom.
right? No one ever says hands on mom because that's just called being a parent.
That's a parent.
So every time you hear someone say hands on dad, you got to go, well, Jessica's a hands on mom.
Yeah, either we're both hands on parents or neither of us are hands on parents. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so he's a great dad, and he does have a job that requires him to travel a lot. So he is kind of like dealing with that while also being in the ER with her, but not in like we have seen dynamics portrayed in this show that are like the parent has a high powered job and they're like really annoyed or put out by the fact that they had to bring their parent to the ER. He is genuinely concerned for her.
Yeah.
He's and also it's not like ugh, do I need to move my flight? It's like, do I need to move my flight so I can like stay here with her? Like, even if we go home, I think even if they had said like, oh, she can go home, but you'll need to keep an eye on her, I still think he would have moved the flight. Like, I just like have no issue with anything this man is doing.
Yeah. And he wasn't, we've also seen, the parents be like very disengaged and disinterested, mm-hmm. not necessarily like at the kid, but like in favor of work. He was like, my kid's number one. Put the shit on the back burner.
Giving them all the information that they need, all relevant stuff. So
very attentive and engaged. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We love to see a dad.
Yes. We love to see a loving parent.
Yes.
So Alex is real pissed off because he's only catching like snippets of this guy. And also he's still pissed off about his dad from last week. So he's gonna take it out on everyone. He's like basically not talking to Joe at all. He's continuing to make snarky comments to this man, implying that he is not a good parent. And it's dumb. And it's very old school Alex. It's not the Alex we have seen blossom and grow and come into his own and be a great doctor and good person. And I'm not really here for the regression. If I'm being honest, I could go without it.
Yeah. And it starts, this whole storyline with this episode today starts very awkward because Joe pages peds and Alex shows up and he's like, well, you page peds, you fucking got me, woman. Like, what do you want me to do with this? So he's like pissed off from the get go. And she even goes up to him at one point, and I think very early on, and she's like, dude, like, I'm sorry. Like, you have to talk to me though. Stop boxing me out. And he's just a dick, just constantly just a dick.
Like everything he's like blaming on her, or the dad, even like things that are not anyone's fault. And so that's frustrating. And he's again, like not even giving her the time of day. Snarky, 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 rude, rude, rude. And then she's like, oh, he's so good with kids. He's just so crappy with everyone else. And I'm like, okay, well, at a certain point, being good with kids is not going to be enough, my guy. Like, you got to get your head out of your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. That is definitely tough. It's one of those things where you just can't bring your shit to work, Alex.
Yeah.
And I think Joe actually says it later on. She's like, yeah, he sucks with everyone else, but he's great with the kids. Like,
yeah.
That there's that scene too where she talks to Meredith. Talk us through that one when they're in surgery.
Oh,
that
yeah. So she asks really Meredith, she's like, I need to talk to you about Alex. And Meredith's like, great, let's go do this fucking surgery on Richard. And so she says, well, I need to tell you something, but he hasn't even told you yet. And she's like, oh, you cannot tell me then. Like, if he hasn't told me, you telling me is the worst choice you could make. Because if he hasn't told you, there's a reason he hasn't told you, or told me, rather. And, like, he is having a hard time because he doesn't want to be vulnerable. But, like, that's what this is, whatever is going on. So you're just going to have to figure out how to deal with it on your own. Because he doesn't want to be vulnerable. But, like, you're going to have to whip him back into shape because I got too much shit going on to take care of Alex right now. And that's, you know,
yeah, your job at this point. I got kids. Which
it's really, it's not Joe's job, to be honest. It's not Meredith's job. It's not Joe's job. It's Alex's job to take care of Alex. But we do appreciate a support and a loving partner who sees when their other half is, you know, in a moment of need. But yeah, I liked it to that Meredith wasn't immediately like, oh, tell me what's going on. You know, a little little goss, little tea. But she's like, nope, mm-mm. Whatever it is, you are going to have to sort it out because there's a reason he didn't tell me. And we're not going to break that. And I like that she's basically telling Joe not to break Alex's trust, because I do think she knows that that is going to be a big thing for Alex if that were to happen. So,
yeah.
And then at the end of the episode, Joe gets all dressed up in her cutie Tinkerbell outfit. And she goes to Alex's house and she's like, I'm so sorry. I made the wrong call. I pushed you to do this, but I never would have done that if I thought there was any chance you would get this hurt. Like, I just, in her mind, she was just living in a happy world where everything was going to end okay. Or she saw a world where if he didn't say something, he would have regret. And she didn't want that either. So she made a bad call and she's like, I understand, you know, if you're upset about it, but you got to stop pushing me out. We got to get through it. And he lets her in. So, yay.
Yeah, it's nice. And I'm not going to objectify anyone. I'm not, I don't objectify women, but let me just say, Joe was looking hot in that Tinkerbell outfit.
Yes. I thought it was a very good look for her. She's a cutie little girl with her, I liked her sparkly green eyeshadow.
Yeah. And the nice wrap up to that, I mean, we don't get like, you know, full conclusion, but he's like, come in, don't let people think I'm home. I'm eating candy and just like dipping my finger in frosting
he's
from these cupcakes by myself. So funny. Yeah, it's I don't know. I have a hard time with Alex pushing people away and people mm-hmm. just normalizing it and saying it's okay. I don't think that Alex has done anything heinous to Joe. He's not being kind, but
he's definitely not being a good partner.
No, he's not being a good partner, but he's not hitting her.
Well, he threw the glass.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, well, you know, compared to Joe's last boyfriend who got into a physical fight with her. But I mean, like, just in general, it's, I don't know. I'm rooting for Alex. I've grown to really like Alex as a character on this show. And I want to see them together and successful. What I don't want to happen is for them to gloss over the stuff with Alex. Alex and his dad, I want Alex to have a scene where he talks to Joe about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I deserve that as a first time viewer.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there is something to be said about weaponizing silence and like the silent treatment against your partner. And I don't know that fully that's what he's doing, but he's kind of doing that. And I don't love that, especially, again, when he's bringing it into work and could potentially like let it negatively impact patients and also Joe's education. Potentially. We haven't necessarily seen that, but it feels like it's reasonable to assume that could happen. But I don't think he's being great with his... I'm not saying his anger isn't valid, because like you can be mad at her, because he was going to tell her not to tell him, and she did do that anyways. And so, you know, there is something to be said about being there for someone and being like, you know, we need to talk about it and I'm here to talk when you're ready. And I do think she's pushing a little hard, but there's also something to be said for him not making any effort to like meet her, like hear her out, give her any grace, hear her apologize. So it's obviously complicated.
Yeah.
Why you gotta go and make things so complicated?
Why'd you have to go and make me so constipated?
Oh, good God.
Yo, Weird Al is a genius.
He has a very specific skill. That is true.
Just like Liam Neeson.
Just like that. Okay. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. Hard pivot. We watched Sinners the other day. It is so fucking good. Holy shit. If you guys have not watched Sinners, please watch it. If you have watched it, please talk about it with me because it was so good and I hope it wins all the Oscars. That's all.
Which one is Sinners? Who's in that?
Michael B. Jordan.
Ah, yes.
Times two.
Ah, yes.
I said, Hollywood really knew what they were doing when they said, you know what's better than one Michael Jordan? Two Michael Jordans. Michael B. Jordan,
well,
to clarify.
Michael B. Jordan and Michael B. Sub Jordan, B hyphen A. Subcategory. It's like a parent trap situation.
B hyphen A? What are you doing?
Well, because you have B and then you have B hyphen A line, and then you would have a subcategory for the B hyphen B. Then you'd have Michael B hyphen C Jordan. Do you not know how indentations work or like business documents?
Oh, it's you're okay. Doing you'll learn, like you'll... bullet points.
Yes. But the title is Michael B. Jordan. And there's Michael B. A. Jordan. Okay. I'm not going to keep. It's all right.
Yeah, jokes are
I'll
best
see myself
when you
out.
Have to
this podcast
them.
Is. Well, jokes are best when you have a competent partner doing a podcast with you, not just a.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Listen, I feel for you. Your partner sucks.
There's quite literally no way you do. Okay, did you have any other
Toxic.
Thoughts on Alex and Joe?
No, my thoughts on them is like, fuck you, dude.
Fuck me?
Fuck
okay,
you, dude.
Get over it.
I'm going to send you a text about cupcakes and like, do whatever you want. I don't care.
Do whatever you want. I don't even care. The little girl. So they do figure out what is wrong with her is that her body is like not producing adrenaline because of some virus that she had from Brazil. And so she does get so scared that she passes out, which is crazy.
At the homeless
lady. She obviously does survive and they figure it out and they find it in time and she gets better. So no worries.
Yeah, that's
a cutie.
She is a cutie. And honestly, like the you know who the dad sounds like? The dad sounds like the penguin from Toy Story with the squeaker.
Oh, really? Wheezy?
He sounds like he could be the voice actor who does Wheezy.
I did not see that when I was Shondalanding, but that does not mean that it's not happening. I will double check. Before
it's okay. You don't need to. He just has like a very unique voice and a unique set of skills, like Liam Neeson and Weird Al Yankovic.
Incredible.
Is it Weird Al Yankovic or Weird Al Yankovic? What is it?
I've heard it both ways. I cannot tell you for certain that it is one way or the other. I'm sure someone will tell us.
But yeah, when the little girl passes out and the homeless lady scares her, Alex finds her in like a room where the lights are flickering in a hospital. What?
Like a random hallway.
And it's just, she found her way into a hallway where it's just old prison inmates ignoring her requests for candy. What is happening? I don't know. They weren't prison inmates, but they both look like ragged dudes who'd like been through shit. And they're like, get out of here, kid. We don't have any candy.
Yeah, like if you're in the hospital and some kid comes by and goes trick or treat, you don't need to go. You can at least go, I'm so sorry. Let me call a nurse for you. You're clearly lost. Or you can go, I'm sorry, what did you need? I don't have any candy.
Or if you get any candy, bring some back to me. I'm hooked up to a pole with fluids. I would like some candy too.
Yeah. What a wild time.
Ugh, wild time. Are there any quick topics we could talk about before we jump into the next episode?
I
guess we could
talk. So.
We could talk about... Nope. Well, okay. Do we want to finish talking about Arizona and Leah?
Oh, yeah. Leah's having a hard day because she got bit by a man. Having a crisis because he's on drugs.
Crazy. And we'll talk more about that in the next episode as well.
But, you know, at the end of it, Arizona finds Leah crying and Arizona's like, why wouldn't you tell me? And I'm like, okay, girl, the signals could not be less clear. It is foggy and your lights are on dim. You got to send some you got to pick a side, pick a lane, stick to it. This is unfair. I do not care for Leah, but this shit is unfair as hell. It is absurd, especially in a workplace situation.
Yeah, it's, I don't even think the lights are on dim. I think the lights are off. It is just not good. Anyone out there who is in a an easy peasy relationship. I have been in a relationship like that before. And when you get out of it, it just, I was the Arizona in this situation. Mm. It was not good. I was unkind. I was very clear.
The term I think that we're looking for is situationship at this point.
Yeah. And like, the thing is there's always going to be someone who's more invested in it. I think they tackled this on, what show was that with, Barney and Marshall and, Lily and Robin, How I Met Your Mother. Wow. I got through the entire cast before I could fucking remember the name of that show. Yeah, it's someone's always going to get more invested and it's not fair. And Arizona should know better. And also, Arizona is still married. They still have a kid.
Yeah.
Do
I don't
you
know.
Not actually care about this like relationship anymore? I don't understand
either. Like, what's going to happen there? It doesn't seem like that's been clarified at all. Like, yes, they're fighting. But again, we don't have any insight into like what's next.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a weird one. I do again think Leah is doing that. Like, I'm trying to be chill. Like, I'm so cool. Again, I'm easy peasy, lemon squeezy, which Scarlett says easy peasy mac and cheesy, which is so funny to me.
Easy peasy mac and cheesy. That's dope. I like that.
And yeah, it's just like very weird. Leah very clearly wants something more, but isn't saying that. And again, when you're in like those kinds of weird situationships, it's like easy for people on the outside to be like, oh, just ask, say you want more. But like, no one wants to be rejected, especially by someone they have feelings for. So especially again, this is super fucked up because of the work dynamic. I just like, I hate it so much. Again, like I know this is not the first time that we have had like an attending resident or attending intern situation. Obviously, that's like what the show is fucking built on. But this one, because of the whole like, keep it a secret, I'm still married, easy breezy, like you're not allowed to spend the night with me, don't tell anyone. Like, it just feels like
icky.
I hate it. I really just feel like Arizona is very in the wrong.
And there's a power dynamic that we need to address too. Like, she is way her boss. Leah is way too vulnerable.
Well, and like the teaching aspect, like it could negatively impact Leah's education. Also, Leah has almost immediately showed that she's going to get too attached. And Arizona is pretending like she doesn't already have that information. She knows.
Yeah. Yeah, she knows.
She is actively choosing to be like, this is someone else's problem. It's literally not. So I don't like
Arizona it. Arizona is a murderer.
She is murdering Leah's feelings, for sure.
She is. Yeah.
But yeah, it's not fun to watch.
Arizona needs therapy. Leah needs therapy. Speaking of Leah's in our life, I get to spend the next 3 days, well, not tomorrow. Well, I guess when this is released, I will be currently in a hotel with Leah's husband.
Oh my God, wait, are you guys going to be in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Should I just come? Should I come down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just bring the baby down.
Yeah.
Jessica would kill is me it? If I brought Wyatt to meet you before she meets Wyatt.
That's actually, do it, do it.
No, that's mean.
Yeah, but like, do it.
Well, she should just come.
I tried. Is it Brianna who lives in Atlanta?
Yes. Yes. Or near, in the outskirts of Atlanta, in a suburb, perchance. Okay.
Perchance. If you're out smashing torties in Atlanta, perchance. Turdies, not torties. Torties are cats.
A turd? A turdy?
No, turdy. The Mario essay. Mario, we all know Mario's out here smashing turdies.
We are on
turtles.
We are on such different internets. I can't even listen to you talk.
I'm gonna send it to you.
Okay, we're gonna take a little breaksy and we will come back in another episode and we'll start with everyone's favorite segment.